hardening U.S. utility systems. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the Biden administration is asking the Supreme Court to drop two cases on the legality of making some people work for their Medicaid. This is part of a rollback of Trump-era rules. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
Medicaid coverage has tipped back and forth between recent administrations. The Affordable Care Act expanded the program to cover an additional 12 million Americans. Then a Trump-era rule rolled back coverage by allowing states to require some adults on Medicaid to work, volunteer, or study. Shortly after taking office, President Biden signed an executive order that directed officials to remove those barriers to coverage. So these two cases on the Supreme Court's calendar are sort of an ode to the previous administration's agenda. Dropping them would acknowledge the Biden administration's push to make sure people who aren't working still have access to health care, and Congress's barring of states from restricting eligibility during the pandemic. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
People 25 to 40 were the ones driving a housing boom during the 2020 pandemic year. This research is from an outfit called Apartment List, but millennials still don't own at the rate of previous generations at a similar age. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
Millennials are now the largest generation. Those are people in prime career and family-building ages, says Rob Warnock, a researcher at Apartment List.
Everything would tell us historically that now is when millennials should be buying a bunch of homes.
Low interest rates and demand for larger spaces helped drive millennial homeownership up last year. But that generation is still 5 to 10 percentage points behind where Generation X and baby boomers were at the same age.
There are just these huge financial limitations that millennials struggle to overcome.
Student loan debt and career setbacks from the Great Recession hurt millennials' ability to accumulate wealth. And the pandemic has deepened inequality among millennials, says Christine Percheski, a sociologist at Northwestern.
The millennials is our most racially and ethnically diverse cohort.
And she says that means racial disparities in wealth and employment that have widened during the pandemic are especially pronounced in that group. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
A down morning for tech stocks is the vibe. The NASDAQ future is down 1.5% now. The Dow future down less than 0.1%, though. Interest rates higher still, with the 10-year benchmark up at 1.37%. In Texas now, a lawsuit's been filed against a utility company in the state's power council after the death of an 11-year-old boy when the power went out in the cold snap. Christian Pineda died of hypothermia in a mobile home in a Houston suburb. How Texas manages its energy markets and power grid is in focus, and some see the battle against climate change as a catalyst for upgrading the grid nationally. Charlotte Howard is the New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine and the energy and commodities editor, who has a piece now called How America Can Rid Itself of Both Carbon and Blackouts. Charlotte, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, so reading your piece, wind and solar, some say would have to go from 9% of America's electricity supply to maybe 50% by 2030. That is hard. But just getting clean power to people is also a complicated and expensive undertaking.
That's right. So in some ways, clean electricity is the easy part. And there are some other really tricky things that need to happen. One is that you need to build enough transmission to get power from the places that have a lot of resources. So imagine solar panels in the desert, big wind farms in the middle of the country on the Great Plains. You need to get that power to population centers. And that means building a lot of transmission, which historically has been really hard to do for any number of reasons, because you have people who don't want power lines going over their lawns. You have people who fight over who bears the costs of big power lines that traverse their state on the way to some distant city.
And it's a lot of power lines, and that's presumably expensive.
Princeton did some really interesting work on this that was published in December, imagining how to get to net zero by 2050. And just in the 2030s, you could have an additional $530 billion spent just on electricity networks, with $350 billion of that on transmission. So this is not pocket change.
And you've been talking to the Biden administration. Clearly, they want to do a lot of this, but what's going to be the political strategy?
They clearly want to convince skeptics in the Senate that this is something that's not just going to be good in the long term, but also good for constituents in the short term in the form of new jobs. So Joe Biden expects to have a big infrastructure bill later this year that includes a lot of what he wants to do on climate change domestically. And the question is whether he can get enough votes in his own party and then maybe peel off a few Republicans to squeak a bill through.
I mean, it's interesting about fossil fuel and coal jobs. These are crucial to some people's livelihoods, but the numbers really aren't all that large in America.
It depends on which state you're in, and that's part of the challenge with American politics. I work for a global publication. In Britain, a minority party can't block the policy priorities of the majority party. In America, you can. You don't have disproportionate power going to small states as you do in the American Senate. The two people who lead the Energy Committee are John Barrasso, a Republican of Wyoming, and Joe Manchin, a Democrat of West Virginia. Those are states that both produce coal and have a combined population smaller than that of Brooklyn. And so there are structural political challenges in the United States to climate legislation that you don't see in Europe. You don't see in a centralized planning economy like China. And that's part of why America has been slow to move to date.
Charlotte Howard is the New York bureau chief for The Economist, and she's the energy and commodities editor there. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Charlotte and I also talked specifically about the Texas utility mess, marketplace.org, if you missed that on the air. This is The Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We're all from APM, American Public Media.